go.
Where are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butt.
And now for something completely different.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Knights of Nerdy 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. I'm Chris, I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on a Skype hotline we have...
Hello Seattle, it's Dr. John, I'm listening.
Sick Fraser reference.
So, anyway...
I call it again.
John's...
Get an eggs out over my face. I forget how the song goes. I just remember that part.
I can picture John all isolated in his little world, you know, because of the impending doom, snowstorm, death, that, you know, the windows are covered with blankets, and he's all snuggled underneath, you know, the blankets and the couch.
Going to have Frasier. A lot of time to watch Frasier during the apocalypse.
Yeah, right?
Snowpocalypse. 2018.
That's how I want to go out. Watching Frasier.
Right? So anyway... This episode is going to be rather short.
We always say that.
Or we're not going to jinx it, so it's going to be the longest episode ever. So for those of you who haven't listened, that means it should be short this week.
So anyway. That's it for this week. You can follow us at...
So 2018 just started a few days ago.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to those. And hope you had a nice, safe, happy New Year's Eve bash.
I don't.
Like we did.
I hope it was dangerous. Someone died.
Jesus Christ, Sam. Jesus. You're super depressing.
I don't think so.
You know what isn't depressing? The movie lineup for 2018.
Ooh,
segue. Segue into our only topic. Good job.
Yeah, well, Sam, there's a lot to look forward to in life, like movies.
John did it better than I did. Sam's depressing. He goes last. Anyway, instead of reading off the list like we did last year of movies that are coming out in 2017, for 2018, what John recommended what we do. Nope, you're not saying anything because it's going to be depressing out of your mouth.
I was just going to say our New Year's resolution was to be less boring. That's not depressing. That's hopeful.
So John suggested that we only take a couple movies out of 2018 and say the ones that, aside from the obvious, you know, Black Panther, Infinity War, Aquaman, we'll pick two that we really want to see that might be under the radar. And we'll do this. We'll do one, and then we'll do a second one as we go around again.
Sure.
John, since you had the highest rated average for movies this year, you get to go first.
Wow.
Say a movie that you would like to see that's coming out in 2018 that isn't really on the majority of our radars.
Well, I'll go first. I'll just go chronologically here. In March, although I don't have the actual date now that my IMDb window just closed on me.
The apocalypse, dude. It's coming.
Yeah, I'm just getting used to the end of days, all right? Yeah, so I, over the weekend, watched Fantastic Mr. Fox, which, I don't know, have any of you guys ever seen that one?
Nope.
It's by Wes Anderson.
Bits and pieces.
Seems like a very Wes Anderson movie.
It is. Incredibly so. Well, not incredibly so, but it's you know, it's just a solid, delightful movie that you just kind of watch, and then it's like, yeah. Anyway, so he's coming out with another stop-motion movie called The Isle of Dogs, the trailer of which I thought was... great, just phenomenal. Bunch of people you've heard of too, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, others. So yeah,
I've heard of others.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
You know, I've enjoyed others' work rather well.
They work well with that
more
guy.
Movies than you think.
So Bryan Cranston and Jeff Goldblum.
I mean among Ed Norton. I mean it's a lot of people.
I'm a sucker for Edward Norton. So you don't know when
Scarlett
that comes
Johansson's
out. Can you see what date that comes out?
Yeah.
Well, it's coming out March 23rd.
March 23rd. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the second highest.
Obviously.
The second highest was Sean.
Yeah, it was.
So go ahead.
All right.
What movie do you want to see coming out this year?
Mine's also in March. my first.
Ooh.
I went with A Wrinkle in Time.
Damn it, that was my one.
That trailer sucked.
You know what? We've all read the books in like middle school, and it's a very interesting book because it's very fantasy sci-fi, which is like perfect with us. And as a kid, I've always wanted somebody to try pulling off like doing it correct. And I don't have high hopes because, I mean, it's Disney and the trailer doesn't look great. But you never know. You like it, you know. So, you know, Reese Witherspoon and was it what's her face? Mindy, what's her
Ailing.
Yeah, and
Chris Pine's in it.
Well, and was it not Whoopi Goldberg?
Oprah?
Oprah. That's the other one.
Oh god.
No, well, the other one.
Yeah.
There's only two worth knowing.
Daytime.
Yeah. Daytime talk
show host women.
Not named Wendy Williams. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Ones that know to sit down all the time instead of standing up all the time? Yes.
Wow, so you're saying they know their place?
Ooh. I wasn't going that way, but you do know what happened to Wendy Williams, right, John?
Yeah. Okay. She passed out. Yeah. I totally forgot about that, but saw that the other day again.
That was like 3 months ago.
Yes.
Anyways. I'm hopeful because it's a book I enjoyed as a kid. I'm hoping they do it some justice.
Okay.
So, yeah, that looks like a movie where it could go either way. It could be like Valerian, where it's just going to look good, but it's going to be really shit. Good.
Yeah.
Or it could be really good. So it's kind of like this year's Valerian for me.
It looks like one of those hit it out of the park or really drop the ball.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Because Sam's depressing, we're going to skip him.
What?
And then go right to me.
Uh-huh.
So the movie is, mine's in January, actually. Oh. It's in 3 weeks, 2 weeks. It's The Current War. It's about the Thomas Edison and
Tesla.
It's Westinghouse. Westinghouse partnered with Tesla to promote their AC power, and Edison and J.P. Morgan to D.C. So it's just about that story, and it's with Benedict Cumberbatch, and there's a few others. I wrote down their names. Tom Holland's in it. Michael Shannon's in it, and then the girl from Alien Covenant's in it. And I'm a sucker for that. So you know those old history channels like The Men Who Built America? They have one on Edison and J.P. Morgan and stuff, and I really will sit down and watch that. That's one of those things where if it's on, I have to sit down and watch it. And then this movie is literally about those things, and I'm going to have to sit down and watch it. But unfortunately, the reviews are really low right now. So.
Yeah, Metascore is a 42 right now.
I know. It has me worried.
Yeah, that was slated to come out this year.
Cumberbatch is 18? Edison, and Nicholas Hoult is Tesla.
Yeah. Sorry, that was as in 2017.
Was it Pushback?
Yeah, it came out last year.
It didn't come out last year.
It says 2017.
Also, I think it was not rated. It was at like some film festivals, probably.
Yeah, it probably was at film festival. But anyway, I want to see it. It's a good story. In the history is a good story. Whether or not the movie is, time will tell. So, Sam?
So, my movie this year is slated for October.
Oh.
It is Venom.
Yes.
It's got, it might get pushed back because it's currently filming, but...
You never know.
You never know. They might be able to get it out. It's got Tom Hardy in it, and, you know, Woody Harrelson's in it, Michelle Williams. I have the IMDb page open right now.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
But, you know, there's nothing really about that movie out right now. But you know what? They might do it justice. I know.
It looks
like it's
a dark.
We hope.
It looks like it's going to be a dark version of like superhero.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. Venom is kind of a dark character.
Yeah, I can see this being good.
It's do they go the him really. As a super an anti-hero or do him as a villain though?
Yeah.
I'm almost thinking anti-hero if he's going to be the focus of the movie.
Yeah, there's no way they'll make him a hero, definitely.
Oh, no, well, yeah. Well, yeah. It's Eddie Brock, so.
But then again, it's Sony.
Yeah.
No, but I can see why you want to see it, though.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they do this.
Yeah. right now the expectations are really low.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It can only go up.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that movie's being made.
Mm. Yeah. So, John, do you have a second one?
I do. My second one is, I believe they recently changed the title of this movie to Sicario 2 Soldado. Sicario, which came out in, I guess now, 2015, was probably like far and away my favorite movie from 2015. And the writer who wrote that, Taylor Sheridan, is now written probably a top three movie each year since, starting with Sicario, then Hell or High Water, and then Wind River, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So Sicario 2 obviously is the sequel to the original, which is very much about the war on drugs, and seems this movie's going to be a little more insane. Like, Sicario wasn't exactly a movie you're like, oh, this should have a sequel. Not that it was bad, but it's like, yeah, it's.
It was like
I'm very interested to see where it goes.
It was like a complete story. Like there was no
right.
loose ends.
Is it returning cast?
Yes. Okay. Josh Brolin is back. Your boy Benicio is back. So we'll see how this is. I am pumped, but little tempered expectations though. I gotta say, but hopefully it's good.
Okay.
It's getting a good release. The last one was like an end of summer. You know, early September release. This is going to be in like July. So
now, are you getting the sequel? I don't want to say like heebie-jeebies, but because you know how you are with sequel. I know how you are with sequels. You're very skeptical of them in second seasons or second movies. Are you getting those feelings right now with this movie? Or
I mean, I think it's a high bar. I don't think it's going to be better than the first one. But if it's like, you know, 70% is good. And, like, maybe different altogether. Like, this seems more like a straight, like, action movie. Like it's literally, like, the trailer is, like, literally just, like, people shooting at each other with guns the whole time. So, we'll see how that's different from the original. But
the cast is doing their lines while shooting. And just
yeah. Kind of like, you know, going from, like, Expendables to Expendables 2. Although Expendables 2 isn't. Well,
you don't expect much.
Expendables 2, they just stop caring. Yeah,
yeah. You don't expect much for. You didn't expect much for Expendables 1, so why expect any better or more for the second one? Was
right.
the second,
second
one
was really
Snipes?
just more. Yeah. No, like, yes, more whipped cream, more cherries on top, more sprinkles.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was the second one.
Yeah, he was okay. a bad guy. There's also
Chuck
the
Norris.
Hemsworth. Chuck Norris. Yeah.
Chuck Norris was in all three of them.
No, he wasn't in all
Arnold
three.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's only.
Oh, yeah, I just remember, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme has the most unnecessarily complicated kill scene I've ever seen, where he stabs the guy by kicking the knife into him.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, I know you're Jean-Claude Van Damme, that's what you're known for, is kicking, but, like,
oh,
is that really necessary?
Yes.
Seagal, the bad guy in the first one. Oh, no, I'm
no.
thinking of
Machete,
where he stabs himself.
It's like, you know what? Fuck it. He just stabs himself and kills him.
Actually, was Steven Seagal in any of the Expendable movies?
No, because none of them like to work with him.
Yeah, good point.
He does not seem like a nice person.
No. He seems a little out there.
Yeah.
You guys still need to see Hard to Kill. I think it's no longer on HBO, but it was incredible.
Sean.
Okay, now, this is a strange one for me because I hate sharks. They actually terrify me. Like bigger ones. I'm
like
going with The Meg. This is a real movie coming out this year.
Sci-fi original?
No. Starring Ruby Rose, Jason Statham, Rainn Wilson, Cliff Curtis from Fear of the Walking Dead. Masioka from Heroes is going to be in it. Yeah, it's about a megalodon.
Oh God,
this is going to be so bad. It's going. I feel like it's going to be entertaining.
When does this come out?
This comes out August 10th.
So you're saying it might not be this year,
or it's coming out this year.
What studio?
That I don't know.
Do they have a trailer?
Might not even have one yet.
No, okay.
But there's a nice on-set photo of Statham as a, you know, captain of a ship.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be so bad.
Why do you want to watch this movie?
Because it's going to be bad. Like, stupid action movies are great.
Well, that's this movie originally supposed to come out in 2006.
Yeah.
This says everything. That says everything.
Well, they're filming. Well, they're in post right now. So it's been filmed.
It goes further back. Initially set up at Disney in 1997 when the book was published.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yes, this was based on a book.
Listen, movies are like a fine wine. The longer they take to make. Look at Apocalypse Now. It took like 7 years to make that.
Jesus.
So the synopsis is, after escaping an attack by what he claims was a 70-foot shark, Jonas Taylor, Jason Statham, must confront his fears to save those trapped in a sunken submersible.
Jonas Taylor... Jonas Taylor sounds like a name you have to come up with on the fly for a character. Just the most generic name you can think of.
Taylor?
That's number two behind Frank White.
Yeah.
Rainn Wilson's character is Jack Morris.
Yes.
Just full of generic names.
And Ruby Rose's character is Jax Herd.
Jax Herd.
With two X's.
It's a little bit more of a, yeah.
Wait, the herd has two X's in the show.
This is probably going to be one of those bad movies that we have to see if we lose the challenge type thing.
Masioka, the guy from Heroes, his character's name is Toshi.
Really?
Yeah.
Very original.
Oh, yeah. Very.
So moving on from the bad movie. So, my second one that I really want to see, and we've talked about it a little bit, but not to the extent as other movies, but The Incredibles 2. This looks... there was no trailer.
It was a teaser.
There was a teaser for it. I don't need to see a trailer. I'm 100% in to see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really excited to see it. And I think it's going to be like one of those family-type things that, you know, will get my family to go. Because usually they don't want to go see movies with me. But I think this is one of those things where, you know, others will want to come.
Do you think Samuel Jackson's going to come back as Frozone?
Why not?
I'm just asking.
I'm sure
all
if we dug deep.
All they have to do is ask.
Yeah, I'm sure if we dug deep, we'll find out. I don't know if I want to know. I think I want to be surprised.
I know the answer.
I know, I don't ruin it.
Come on, you'll know.
Come on.
He was the first name on the list.
You know that experiment of not seeing the trailer for Black Panther, by the way?
Yeah, you only got a month
still
left.
Going
2 months
strong.
Left. 2 months.
Still going strong. I haven't seen anything in that for that movie.
Wow.
I've seen little screenshots of stuff, and that's it. But I really want to see if this works. All right, so Incredibles 2, that comes out.
Can I, guys, give you an Incredibles take?
In June 15th. Go ahead.
Never really did it for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see how it wouldn't work for some people, though.
It's like Cars level. Like, okay,
oh,
this
no,
is fine.
It's better than Cars.
I think it's
much better,
than
Cars,
too. But it's not for... I can't imagine it's for everyone. So Sam,
yeah,
let's end this off. Your second movie that you would like to see this year.
So, Rampage is coming out. But,
oh God!
But you know what? I was going through the list and I just remember this one just because it had a really awesome trailer. The New Mutants.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, that horror movie.
That horror. X-Men movie thing.
Different take on the X-Men and superhero movie in general.
Yeah, this might be interesting.
And this might be the last by Fox.
No, because the X-Men Dark Phoenix is coming out after New Mutants.
Oh, is it? When is New Mutants coming out?
I think it's in July?
October, I want to say.
No, it's earlier than that. Dark Phoenix, I think,
like
is in October.
It seems like it should come out in March.
We're front loaded this year.
We are. Yeah,
there's a lot of movies front loaded.
Oh yeah, Cloverfield is doing it again.
They pushed their thing back.
Unofficially called Guard Particle.
April 13th of this year is New Mutants.
Okay,
so
and then X Men is later in the second half of the year.
Yeah,
I think we're really front loaded with a bunch of these movies.
Yeah, even Star Wars is coming out early this year.
Star Wars?
We got.
Do you guys want to talk Star Wars?
No, I don't want to talk Star Wars.
By hand.
Are we going to see Solo, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, there's reports out that Disney thinks it's going to be really bad.
No. Man, like, if only there was a podcast that was talking about how bad it was going to be. Too bad.
So, so anyway, should we move on from that?
And Dark Phoenix is November.
Yes, it was a lot later.
And Deadpool 2 comes out midsummer, which is surprising.
It's going to be June, I think, right?
July?
I forgot to print out the list, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of sequels coming out, or remakes or whatnot. The Predator comes out this year. June 1st.
You know what?
For Deadpool.
Goosebumps Horrorland is slated for September 21st.
Oh, boy.
But they haven't started filming yet, so I don't think they're going to come out this year. Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I was kind of excited for it. Why not? First one was cheesy.
Dude, oh, but guys, it was great. Guys, why are we not seeing the sequel to Mamma Mia?
Oh, yeah. Didn't they? I heard that they killed off, what's her face? Meryl Streep.
Not in the trailer.
Her name's on the IMDb page.
Sorry. I know. No, but I mean, like, apparently she's going to be killed off or something like that.
For some reason, they showed that trailer before Pitch Perfect.
I wonder why.
I know.
Nah, not a lot of crossover in those audiences.
Honestly, though, there's, like, no other choice of a, like, subtitle for the movie than Here We Go Again, right? Like, that's a slam dunk.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't wrap my head around that trailer for that movie.
Which one?
Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think it's exactly one you need to understand.
I couldn't really fathom what's going on. I mean, I couldn't figure it out.
Well, it's happening again.
It was, like, past, present, future shit going on, and I just couldn't deal with it.
Every 20 years, it happens again.
Speaking of things that are cyclical, though, we're getting another Medea movie this year.
Dude, he does like two a year.
What's this one called?
Tyler Perry's A Medea Family Funeral.
Wow.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was on the list of things to come.
So yeah. So let me get into. Speaking of Mamma Mia, I saw when I watched Pitch Perfect. Let me do a quick review on Pitch Perfect.
Go ahead.
So Pitch Perfect 3 was better than 2, not as good as 1, but Pitch Perfect 3 brought back the good stuff that was in Pitch Perfect 1.
Like what?
Yeah.
So they had this in Pitch Perfect 1. They actually had it's called I forget what it's called, but it's like a riff-raff type thing where they just sing back and forth and they kind of interrupt each other, and it's like a challenge. You have to sing
like
words
a rap
of a song.
Battle, just not
you have to
as
sing
cool.
words of a song, but then in order to take it from the other team, you have to say the word that's next from a new song and then start singing that.
Okay.
That was really good in the first one, and they did that in the first quote-unquote singing of the third movie, and it was fantastic. Loved it, because I'm a sucker for that shit, and it was great. The first half of the movie was really good with that stuff. And then for some reason, they decided to go away from that, and they just started singing the whole song as an a cappella group. And it just dropped drastically. And then at the end, I mean, what's her face? I can't think of their name, but she's the writer, Elizabeth Banks. And then the other guy who's the kind of
The other commentator.
Reporters, commentators type people. Those two were easily the funniest parts in this movie.
I can see it.
And they always have been. And at the end, they're like, this is the greatest send-off ever, and it's just Anna Kendrick singing one song in the end. And that's it. And I didn't even know what the song is. I think it was an original by some artist somewhere.
I see John Lithgow was in that movie.
Yes. Really weird.
Was he Churchill?
Really random. And he did sing.
Well, yeah, he
and
can.
And he did sing.
He can.
No, I know. But I forgot what song he sang, though.
Damn. Was it Footloose?
No, it wasn't Footloose. Yeah, he was funny
Cut
in that.
Foot loose.
He was pretty funny. But it was really weird seeing John Lithgow in there. But anyway, it wasn't as good as the first one. But they did swing. The second one wasn't as good, but they did bring some of the elements back into the third one. So, you know, it was enjoyable. It was a good closure. And that's it. I don't need another one. You know. But I gave it a 7. That's pretty high. But, you know, I liked it.
Wow.
I liked it. Nothing really bad. I mean, you don't go in there expecting a stellar plot, you know.
Well,
but or solid acting, but still.
Or, you know, a good movie.
It wasn't bad for the people. The theater was packed. Oh my God, was this theater packed? There was a line. So you know the Cinema World?
Yeah.
You know how they line up on the right?
Yeah.
This, we were outside.
Wow.
On the right, along the wall, in the door. It was unbelievable how many people showed up for this movie. So, but anyway, Pitch Perfect. I think that was less than 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Good. Like, yeah. I was waiting for you to, like, throw us for a loop and be like, they brought back the Dark Ones.
The Dark Ones? The Dark Ones.
Going into just some...
the prophecy foretold.
Wait, what's the Dark Ones? It's way over my head.
Yeah, I guess you're missing this joke.
Apparently. Wasn't really meant to be, but all right.
Do you guys want some trivia?
Sure.
This is, like, semi-related to our predicament here, with the snowstorm coming and whatnot, and me just dicking around on IMDb. Pulled up the page for Home Alone 3.
Oh, God.
And how about we play a little Two Truths and a Lie?
Okay.
Okay, so which one of these three facts about Home Alone 3 is incorrect? John Hughes also wrote this one. Scarlett Johansson's in it. Or the guy who plays the janitor on Scrubs is in it, also playing a police officer, much like he did in The Fugitive.
All right, I'm going to go with John Hughes wrote it.
Same.
I'm going to say Scarlett Johansson.
No, all those things are right.
I knew Scarlett Johansson was in
it. Yeah, I had a feeling in Janitor.
The cop, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I give you guys a little twist here?
Sure.
I just find just funny how things kind of come together. I'm just going to read you the very quick synopsis. Alex Pruitt, a young boy of 9 living in Chicago, fends off thieves who seek a top secret chip in a toy car to support a North Korean terrorist organization's next deed. Which is funny because has something to do with North Korea when the previous installment of the series has a cameo by Donald Trump. So, there you go. Everything's connected.
Oh my God, he is in there. Oh, yeah. I didn't even realize.
Yeah,
that's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon right there.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow.
So anyway,
I did hear, speaking of Home Alone, I did hear a nice, because there was an argument, I think on Stan Winston Studios on their Facebook page, it was a poll going back and forth. Which do you consider a Christmas movie, Home Alone or Die Hard? And one of the comments, so true, is that Home Alone is a children's version of Die Hard.
Yeah. But also, Home Alone is actually a Christmas movie.
And so is Die Hard.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is. According to the fans.
Oh, you're so cool, Sean.
The fans said 61% said Die Hard was a Christmas movie in their poll. Just saying.
What an interesting take to have in the year 2018.
Wow, first thoughts.
Anyways,
you saw the mummy.
I saw the mummy.
Can you give us your thoughts? Sam and I thought it was a third of a movie.
Yeah, you guys gave it a third. I was, I didn't think it was that bad.
Was it not?
Oh,
Tom
it was,
Cruise playing Tom Cruise.
Oh, God,
in
yeah.
a Tom Cruise movie.
It was the most Tom Cruise I've seen, Tom Cruise.
There is Tom little Cruise. Things. One, didn't understand why they needed that American Werewolf in London bit about his friend keep coming back and being
but
like...
But it was funny. Didn't you laugh?
Did they at least play the Kid Rock song?
So didn't understand why we needed that. That was kind of stupid. And how he brought his friend back from the dead in the end. Doesn't look like he's zombified or anything. He's just normal.
Which is weird.
Yeah, because
Tom Cruise apparently isn't.
Maybe. I don't know.
We don't know.
No, he's covered in the sheets and stuff.
But it didn't blow your mind that he's the mummy in the end.
Pulled a Tom Hardy.
Two things about Russell Crowe. One, I liked how the accent changed between Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Did not like how you couldn't tell if the difference between Jekyll and Hyde, though, other than the accent, because he's
just
like...
fat Russell Crowe.
He's walking around, oh, I'm Dr. Jekyll, blah, 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 blah. Takes his glasses off, oh, I'm Mr. Hyde, I'm like...
Making movies, making music, flying around the world.
Yeah, it was like, it was a Superman Clark Kent situation where he's like, I have the glasses on, I'm good. Now they're off, I'm evil. Like, okay. And that, in, if you don't know who Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is, which I would say probably 50% of the people who went to go see this movie, probably going to be very lost on who that guy is. Because, like, he says Dr. Jekyll, and in your head, if you don't know it very well, you'd be like, that name sounds familiar. And then he calls himself Eddie Hyde. And you just kinda,
I don't know about 50%.
This is a PG-13 movie?
Yeah, but it's used in common. Like, it's used in common language.
Not a lot of people know that, like, character as well as
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
We do, obviously.
No, it's used very commonly.
Yeah, but anyways, moving on. Heavy use of CG in this movie. A lot of CG. Like, the mummies were just, like, horribly CGI'd. And that coming from watching the original Mummy trilogy, if you will. I mean, The Mummy 2, they used a lot of CGI for their mummies. But at least in the original Brendan Fraser mummy, the CGI they used, it was very minimal with, like, was it Imhotep? Well, no, like, not when he first wakes up. I understand that. But, like, as he's regenerating, he looks more and, like, they hide it more with, like, scarves and hoods and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the mummy, I guess I wouldn't describe the mummy to the Scorpion King having a good CGI.
No. That was the second one. So, yeah, the second one was just horrible CGI. But, I mean, that, you know, dated. And the Scorpion King had a box head.
I just remember it, but it still looked like bad. Like, just when you saw The Rock come out as a scorpion.
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
This is so fucking bad. Dumb, right? Yeah.
No, it was bad for the time, and it's just gotten worse.
Yeah, but it was the weird.
It was, you know how pixelated. It was,
yeah, but you know how there was that weird 3-year gap where movies didn't really get good CGI because they were in the transition phase?
That, well, no.
There was a period of time where it was just right before the surge of good CGI and right towards the end of initial CGI, you know?
Unfortunately, the mummy, yeah, the Mummy 2, the reason why it was such horrible CGI is they ran out of budget for that last scene. They had to squeeze in the Scorpion King somehow.
They couldn't, like, just pin to tail and rock. Just kicked him out there.
Just giving him a suit that had, like, two legs on each side to just dangle him as he walked. I am the Scorpion King.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so...
What, so you want to rate it?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it like a 4.9.
4.9?
Yeah.
Alright, let me film it.
Which makes that one my worst movie of the year.
I have a question, Sean.
Yes.
For you, just one little one. Were you also confused on why we didn't want Tom Cruise to die?
Right, like when Dr. Jekyll was like, we need to kill him to study him.
You were all on board of that plan, right?
And Tom Cruise was like, no. And then the woman for some reason was like, he's been an asshole to me the whole movie, but he shouldn't die.
I was all on board for that plan. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's save the earth.
How about everybody watching the guy walk around the base with an axe? And they're like, what's he gonna do? Let's watch and see how this plays out. Now he's going up to the power box. Okay. He's pulling it back. Okay. Hey, guys, come see what Ed is doing over here. Oh, no, he cut the power. Who would have seen that happening?
Guys, I'm starting to think he's possessed.
Jeez. All right, so let's move on from the mummy.
And why did they have to freeze her with mercury?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just inject plastic into her.
So much
easier.
They roughly
no, they
brushed
didn't.
Upon the mercury thing.
No.
Sean, we all know evil is stopped by mercury.
Wasn't it a pool of mercury?
Yeah,
in
she
tomb?
Was submerged in a pool of mercury, which makes no sense because she would float on mercury because mercury is so dense.
Okay, right. There's no need to call mercury stupid.
Right. Anyway.
It was uncalled for.
Shall we move on from shitty movie to good movies?
Sure.
So,
sure.
2017, John had, what was it? Two of your three favorite movies were...
Dunkirk and Wind River.
Yeah.
And I finally saw those.
Yep.
So we'll start off with the one that Sam saw, Dunkirk. Yep. So John really liked it. Sam really didn't like it. And, okay, so... How am I supposed to put this? Suspense in the movie, none.
Exactly.
Which was one of Sam's arguments.
Yes. So, and I'm not... It was definitely a British movie.
Which is something you guys both British have movie. Agreed on.
I thought I saw one emotion in it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It was by the French guy.
Yeah. It was by the French guy. So, let me so I know the story of Dunkirk, and the whole point of this movie was to give you the suspense of the troops on the beach trying to get home. Unfortunately, I never got it. It never resonated with me at all. But the thing was that I really liked was the air battles. You didn't like them.
It took forever,
but that's, I mean, I hate, that's air battles in World War II.
Well, yeah.
That's just the way it is.
I get that. It's just, you know, there's other things we could be looking at right now.
So, I really enjoyed the air battles. I do agree with you, John, that it had to have been a movie seen on the IMAX. I watched it at home on 55 inches, and it wasn't, I felt like it didn't give me enough. That said, this movie is easily going to win Best Film Editing. Easily.
Mm. Yeah, probably should.
It should, because it was really, the film put together was really nice. It didn't hit home with me, and I think the reason why it didn't hit home with me was primarily because when I watch a war movie, I want to be associated with the groups. So, associated with the squads, the companies, the platoons, whatever. That's why Band of Brothers works so well. That's why Saving Private Ryan works so well.
This movie, I would say it's more like Gravity than it is like Saving Private Ryan.
I don't get the ref. Like, build up is pretty much what you're saying?
Well, that it's just, it's like one sort of... I mean, in this case, there are like A, B, and C plots to it. But it's like, it's less about the actual war and more just like survival in general.
Yeah. And I think that's what, I think that's what they tried to get across to me, but it just didn't sit. I didn't feel danger at all or suspense or fear for the characters. I really had no connective tissue with any of the characters whatsoever. I mean, I don't know if that's what they were attempting to do, but I feel like with a movie, you should resonate with at least one. And I didn't feel that. The only one, if anything, was the commander at the end who was overseeing the people leaving on the boats. The general or colonel, whatever it was. Yeah, and him, the guy who stayed in the end.
Yeah.
He's the only one who maybe I resonated with. I didn't resonate with the two guys that it started out with trying to get on the boat and then the boat sinking and all this other stuff.
Yeah, and the admiral guy was just standing on a pier looking at things.
Yeah, it's just, it didn't connect with me. And another problem I have with the movie is I don't understand why they filmed it a week ahead, a day ahead, and an hour ahead. And it took me three quarters of the movie until they finally all merged to understand what was going on. And it really irritated the shit out of me.
It did feel unnecessary. It was done well enough where I don't think it made the movie confusing at all. It just, I was left with a feeling of why.
Yeah, it wasn't confusion at all. You knew that it was, you know, halfway through the movie, you're like, all right, well, this is a week ahead, this is a day before, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's just why. You're right. It's just why do you need to do that? We get it. We get it. And cinematography is presenting a story with giving a little bit of leeway to the audience.
Yeah.
It's film. That's just the way it is. And it didn't come together enough for me. But I'm sorry, John. I didn't like it as much as you thought I would.
Wait a minute, he gets an and you like want to drive down and kill me?
Well, I mean, well, first off, now the shock is over. Before I was like, just, you know, bright-eyed and like, oh my god, what a great movie. And now I've learned that the world is shit. So, you know. I will say this on the suspense thing, which I disagree with you guys on that, how it's not suspenseful. Because in a sense, the movie is like only suspenseful. There's definitely not... There's no ramp up at all. I mean, it's effectively like a third act. Like, it's not a fully formed movie in a way, which to me makes it like different enough and interesting. And like, I didn't need it to be a whole grand story of Dunkirk, just like its own thing. I was fine with that. But I could see if you went into it expecting more, that you would be disappointed.
I wasn't expecting massive battles. And, you know, that's not the story. Especially towards the end of Evacuation and everything. That's not the story. But I did expect more of a threat from the Germans. I don't think you ever saw the Germans.
No.
No, you really don't. At the very end, you see them coming over the hill when Tom Hardy blows up his plane.
Yeah. I think it was just the lack of... I hate to put it in this direction, but the lack of the villain that just... Like, kind of didn't make me feel like there was an actual problem going on.
I like that if it worked. I don't think it did, where it's like, it's just this impending doom that's coming, but I just never felt that impending doom. Like, I like the fact that you don't see the Germans till the end, but I feel like it could have been done better.
It's a different concept of not seeing the enemy.
Yeah, but...
I don't know. I just have a hard time grappling with what you're saying, though, because, like... At the start of the movie is like these guys get ambushed out in the middle of nowhere and just like his whole squad gets cut down. Then they go to the beach and, you know, they're loading everybody onto this ship. Well, I guess this is spoilers, but fuck it. It's been out for 6 months.
Also, you know,
they go to the ship and the ship sinks. And then like it seems like there's obstacles everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like I also would like to watch humans do this instead of just like bodies. Like, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know why I should care. Like,
I mean,
if they spoke words to each other, maybe I would be associated. A lot of the characters did not interact with each other.
One of the characters doesn't talk till the very end.
Very, very, very end.
Like, but there's a reason for it.
And that was a huge plot hole for me. And I hate to bring up a plot hole in a war movie because it really is sporadic. That's the idea of war. But... I mean, if these guys are out there and they get ambushed by Germans, how intelligent are these soldiers? If they're out there looking for food, no, the British. If they're out there looking for food, and this could just be like a hole that is just there that should never be the case. I mean, they're literally looking for food with their weapons slung on their shoulder. If they're out in dangerous territory surrounded by Germans, you think they would be on guard or keeping an eye out.
This is when they go to the boat?
In the first part when they get ambushed by the Germans and there's one guy left. I mean, if you're out there looking for food and you know you're out there and you know you're near the enemy, you're going to have weapons ready. They teach you that in boot camp. I mean, I'm not saying anything about British soldiers or anything. I think it's just the way this scene in particular was directed. They would be ready for this. And then just to have that happen, it just really turned me off. Because then they run behind the line, and the French are guarding the line. So they were beyond the line, essentially, not even prepared for anything.
You know what, like, just a thought that occurred to me? I would be a lot more interested to see this from the French perspective.
Yeah. Because they actually left some of the French troops
there. Yeah, they're like pissed off at the British because they're going to get out.
Yep.
Their country has just been humiliated, about to surrender.
Yeah.
Like,
you're right.
They have no way out. And it's like, do we fight on or do we surrender?
Yeah.
And that'd be a much more interesting story.
I also think they downplayed the fact that 330,000 troops were leaving Dunkirk.
Yeah, it never felt big.
It never felt that big when it really was. I mean, it's 250,000 troops of German, Belgians, and French. Or British, Belgians, and French. So it's just, I didn't get the scope of that when I was watching the movie. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I love war movies. I just don't know why. I just think this one didn't click. Majority, the major reason why this didn't click with me is because I like the interaction among the troops. And that those things work best for me. Like Longest Day, great movie, but you know, I didn't like some of it because you didn't really interact with them long enough. Granted, it was a 4.5 hour movie, but still.
We needed, you know, 6.5.
Yeah, right. But John, I'm sorry. I just didn't like it as much. I did rate it higher than Sam, though.
What did you give it?
I gave... Wait, hold on.
Right under Beauty and the Beast and Resident Evil.
Is it?
Yeah. Between Beauty and the Beast and Ghost in the Shell. You find Okja.
A 6.
Oh.
Actually, so it's actually lower than Sam.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, if you really didn't like it, Sam gave it, I think, a 6.5. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I give it a 6.
Wow.
Like, by no means do I think this is a bad movie.
No, neither do I. But
it's just not an entertaining one.
I did give it my full attention, though, John. I wasn't, like, screwing around on my iPad or anything.
Because it definitely is. I will say this. If you're, like, in your phone and shit, which obviously none of us were, because, I mean, I saw it in the theaters, Sam saw it in the theaters, and you just said as much. But, like, yeah, that would actually, like, not be a great way to watch this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hey, is maybe a critique onto itself, you know?
I wouldn't recommend doing other things when you're watching this movie. It does need your full attention. The air battles were epic. And I think on the IMAX, it would have been phenomenal to watch those scenes.
Yeah, and there's a certain part, too, with, like, the air battles, you know, they're filmed with all, like, original planes. Like, that, you know, in itself is, like, worth something on its own, you know?
Yeah. Were those all original?
I think so.
I mean, there were only three.
Sherman's might just have been, like, other planes, not German planes, but those are definitely Spitfires.
Yeah. No, but all in all, a decent movie. I can see why people really like this movie, but personally, it just didn't sit with me. But what did sit with me was the other movie that you thought was a great movie for the year. Wind River. Love this movie. Loved this movie. I'm surprised you didn't mention it sooner, in all honesty.
Well, I think I just mentioned it, like, yeah, I watched it. It was good.
Well, you recommended. I thought, like, a week ago, you said, oh, Chris, you really like Wind River. And then, all right, I saw it on demand, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, not doing anything tonight. And then I watched it. Fucking thank you. This was such a good movie. It was unbelievable. I'm not going to go into the plot, but...
Well, I mean, you can give it the setup is that Jeremy Renner works as, like, what is he, like, a fish and wildlife guy?
Fish and wildlife hunter of predators.
Right.
Like wolves.
Yeah, so if a wolf starts, you know, pestering your flock or whatever, you call him up and he'll come in and, like, shoot the wolf. So he's working on an Indian reservation and he comes across a dead body, and the investigation that ensues is sort of the rest of the movie.
Yes, and so the story is not, you're not going to get a big twist or anything. That's not the point. The best things about this movie were the deliveries of Jeremy Renner's character. Is it Elizabeth Olsen?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen's character and the chief. Those were, I mean, spectacularly done. In terms of acting, the traumatized father, which was Renner, the rookie FBI agent who is hidden way over her head but steps up to the plate, and then the chief, who's just pretty much saying, we have no help from anybody, we're on our own to deal with all this stuff. And it was so good. And in the scenes and this in the landscape of everything was, you know, it's in, where were they, Wyoming?
Yeah,
I didn't know there was that much freaking snow in Wyoming, but there's a ton of snow. It's ridiculous.
It's the north.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty high up there, too.
It is high up there. Yeah. All right. But there's anyway.
There's also no people to shovel it away. So.
Right. It was just the way it was filmed, the nice scenery, the good long shots, and the delivery of the acting and the characters was spectacular. Yeah. And then the final the final kind of payoff of everything and the conclusion of everything was...
Like, when it ramps up really quick.
Real quick. Real quick. And I love how they did that, though. How she goes up to the door and then she starts knocking. But then they film to the flashback of what actually happened. And they just... I'm happy that they did it that way, because if they broke it up, I feel like it worked better that way, showing everything that happened in one clip, instead of breaking it up throughout the movie, showing kind of pieces of what happened and then finally concluding at the end.
I like that, because you just, I don't know, I don't think I've seen a movie or anything that comes to mind where, you know, you sort of wait that long to have like a big flashback like that, you know?
Yes.
That's not, like, otherwise, like, kind of dumb or contrived, you know, out of nowhere.
Yeah,
like,
and it's not it's not the standard. The standard is show pieces and then finalize it in the end. This is, you don't know anything, you don't know anything, and at the end we're going to show 3 minutes of what actually happened. And it worked really well. And in the end, you get a lot of satisfaction in the end with the way the villain goes. And then, I forget what Renner said, the dad of the girl who was killed says there was one missing, or one got away, or whatever, and then Renner just simply goes, no, he didn't. Or, I forget what exactly what he said, but it's the end of the movie, and it just shows them kind of looking off into the, I don't want to say outback, but into the plains.
Yeah, I thought that guy was really good, too. The
father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like that one, by the way, like I said, it's the same writer, this guy Taylor Sheridan. I would check out Hell or High Water too. That's a pretty like accessible one. That's like it's Chris Pine and Ben Forster are like these two brothers, and they're like robbing a bunch of banks in Texas. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So, no, I really like this one. Thank you for recommending it. It was great. It was
it struck me like right after watching Dunkirk, and I was like, oh yeah, Chris would definitely like this movie.
Oh, I definitely do. And I'm probably gonna recommend that to my parents too, because they don't like a lot of the obviously shit that I watch, but this one they definitely would. Mm. So I gave this for rating, I give this an 8.9.
Ooh. Wow.
But in the end, Logan I still like the best. But I'd say number two for me, skip Spider-Man because that's a fake rating. Number two for me, tied with number two, Wonder Woman and that Wind River, tied for number two for this year.
Wow.
Or 2017. This was so good. Mm. It was just the way everything kind of came together in the end. It was perfectly timed movie. It was not long. It was not short. It was right as long as it needed to be. So.
Yeah, and Renner's really good in it, too.
He did so well, and I was so skeptical seeing Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye in the same movie. I was so skeptical, but Renner did really good. I mean, sleeper pick for best actor for the Oscars.
Wow.
Sleeper pick right there. But anyway, That's it for 2017.
Yeah. Hey, John, so did you ever finish Okja, or you just started it?
I started it, and I don't know, started watching other stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of subtitles.
Oh, only in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they go to the, so it's the, Korean
like,
farm.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal showed up.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, what is this?
Yeah. No,
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, definitely give it another shot. If you're on the fence about eating meat, don't watch that movie. Okay. But that's, if you love meat, though, definitely watch that movie.
Speaking of eating meat, have you seen the Train to Busan? The zombie movie on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Wonder if that is that 2017? I'm looking that up right now. You'd really like that.
I know. Was it Day of the Dead or one of the zombie movies, like old zombie movies, has been redone. It's coming out, I think, this month or next month, one of these months. I've heard fan wise, it's gotten good reviews.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay.
So I have another kind of question for you guys before we wrap this up. So if we are in the mid-season break for a lot of TV shows.
Yes.
So we have a lot of time, you know, catching up on the DVR and whatnot, or just simply doing something else.
Right.
So what are you guys watching now?
For me, I'm watching Superstore on NBC.
Are you really?
Oh, I am. I watched the pilot like 3 years ago, and I was like, eh, it wasn't bad. And then I found it on Hulu, and I was like, eh, I'll give it a shot. And no, it's really good.
So you're binging Superstar.
Okay.
Okay. John, do you have anything?
Watching some Frasier, watching some Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
And I just started watching, I don't know why, started watching The Great British Baking Show.
What? What?
Yeah, it's they bake stuff. And yeah, it's interesting.
Oh wow, Sam, do you have anything regarding food or TV?
No, I got nothing. I got shows lined up, but I'm not watching anything right now.
You've been playing a lot of Minecraft.
Yeah, a lot of Sky Factory 3. Yeah,
I've been playing that too.
Really,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's you're given a tree on a piece of dirt in nothing. And you have to build your world. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Okay. So, as you know, I watch a lot of TV.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So the week before Christmas, I made the mistake of binging the Arrow show.
Okay.
And then now I am on 24.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, did you go back to the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God,
yes.
Yeah. It is 24 hours per season.
Before, just... Speaking of TV, X-Files starts tonight.
And the new season. Just going to end on that note. Okay.
Well, I ended on that note.
So,
X-Files starts tonight.
X-Files starts tonight, so we can get back into a routine of reviewing some shows that are coming up.
You got to catch up on
Runaways. One episode back.
Oh man. That most recent episode, man. The ending.
Really? It's really good. Oh, it's man. So good. We haven't talked about it in a few weeks,
I know.
Too, so.
I'm always caught up. Every Tuesday, I watch it.
All right.
So, make sure.
We'll talk some of that.
When's CW come back for break? End of the month?
I think it's the end of the month. I think it's February for a couple.
Sam, catch up.
I know. Riverdale for Sam.
Yeah.
And John, what are you watching this season?
What, for shows?
Anything new?
I think the next show I'm watching is probably Billions when that comes back.
Mm. Oh, by the way, Powerless was 2017. For TV shows.
Yeah, I know.
No, because I mentioned
beginning
it last
of the year,
year,
I think.
Yeah.
That doesn't
it was a mid-season
vote.
One? Okay.
That doesn't change my vote.
Like, no, I know.
Because, like, that wasn't a colossal fuck-up.
Wait, what was your pick for worst TV?
Inhumans, come on.
Oh, God, yeah.
Everybody picked Inhumans. Yeah.
Having seen, like, a good chunk of two episodes of Powerless, it is still Inhumans by a country mile.
Okay. So we'll wrap it up for this week. So if you like all of our episodes, you can find them on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher for free. You can also find them on Facebook, and you can send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerdTube. Sean is starting to post trivia.
Every Wednesday.
So.
Star Wars trivia. I didn't get a calendar.
But anyway, try and keep posted it. Why not?
I am.
Why not? So that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.